Get laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, welcome back to Banter with the Boys. Fast laps, Monaco recap, Canada preview. Let's just get right into it. Joe right next to me, co-host. Joe, what's going on?
How's it going? Happy to be here. Happy to talk about Canada.
You don't sound super happy to be here. Good Lord. I know it was a boring race, but Cole, how's your week been, buddy?
Good. I mean, the Tuesday curse is back.
The Tuesday curse is back. True.
Rain.
Right. Rain to give.
We get one freebie?
Yeah, that's all we get every Tuesday.
I just decided now I'm wearing rain jackets.
Oh, there you go.
Gotta be prepared.
And of course, next to Cole, obviously, we got Tyler. Tyler, what's popping?
Not much, man. Not much. Just excited for an actual race here upcoming.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. He says actual race because we had an event this past weekend. The Monaco Grand Prix race. Not much to talk about, actually, to be honest with you. I don't think we'll spend a ton of time on the recap this week, but obviously plenty that we do have to mention. The number one thing, obviously, being Leclerc getting his home win. I mean, how cool is that? Like, I'm not a fan of a team or anything specific, but I mean, still, I don't hate Ferrari, but that was pretty neat.
Yeah, that was sweet. It was sweet just watching him finally actually convert a pole at Monaco. His car didn't let him down. The weather didn't let him down. Like, he had that race won before it started. The Monaco time trials, that is, because that's all it was. It was just time trials. It was the most boring race I've ever actually watched. You know, at least last year we had, what, Joe, 22 overtakes, I think it was?
Was it 22 overtakes? I just know it was a lot of rain.
Like that.
Yeah, just a lot of, you know,
because of the weather,
weird stuff happening.
So weird.
Sure.
But yeah, it was such a boring race. I mean, all the drivers even came out and said, like, it's such a boring race. They were just complaining left and right.
Well, and that's just it, right? It's so boring. Like, does it stay on the schedule?
Yeah, I mean it's Monaco.
You have to.
One of the inaugural races. It's the only one left from the inaugural six, yeah?
Yeah, we'll get into it in news because I don't want to just ask you guys, like, what can they change? So we'll get into that to make it more interesting, whatever it may be. But yeah, obviously Charles with the podium, or with the win, actually, obviously. Ferrari with the podium sweep, I guess you could say. Carlos coming in third.
And I think we talked about, too, I think we all kind of predicted Charles taking the pole this race.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that did happen.
And I saw a video after the race, and I don't know if this was like super far after or right after, but Charles riding home to his hometown on a bicycle.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not see that.
It was a video of somebody recording him.
Oh, I gotta go catch that.
I'd imagine he'd be like surrounded, like people following him and stuff, but
it's, you know, Monaco,
it's his home. It's a small city. Yeah, it's a small country.
But you could tell the pride they took in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the citizens, the pride they took in it. And what is it, the president?
The Prince Albert. He's the prince of...
Yeah, dude. That dude was amped.
Seeing him part of, like, the champagne
That's
and stuff.
I mean.
Yeah, the podium ceremony, the best part of the race, in my opinion.
Cool.
We were talking about it, just seeing the emotion from Charles, seeing everyone so excited. Like, yeah, it was really nice to break that curse and get him his win in his hometown.
Yeah, even the marshals. The marshals were getting emotional after the win, after he won, because, you know, the marshals are all local guys,
right.
So they just, you know, get hired for the weekend or whatever it is. So, like, they were getting emotional, like, hugging each other. They were in tears. Like, it was just cool to see. Everybody's taking pictures.
It's just a good time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even with, what, two laps to go, I think Charles said at the end, he was like, he said, quote, with two laps to go, I was like, F, Charles, calm down. Like, you know, you can handle this pretty much. Like, he knew how big it meant to him. I mean, and then obviously the interview after the race about his dad and just how he gave up everything for him to have this opportunity. I mean, I just can't even imagine how he honestly feels about it, even today, you know. Just winning the race where we see Bugatti Veyrons on yachts. Did anybody else catch that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, good. Because I was
what
like,
a flex.
Whoa. But typical Monaco. I mean, this is something to be said about Carlos finishing third, too. I mean, that's a great showing from Carlos as well. Just trying to figure out where he's going next year. Just keep showing up. That's all you can do, really. But let's talk about Carlos really quick. That puncture on lap one. There's a lot of fans out there that are a little irritated with where he was able to get back to on the grid. Now, was it because they didn't actually complete a lap?
Nah, so what the ruling is, so I looked into it a little bit. What the ruling is every car that is capable, you has to actually pass you.
Zone didn't, I don't think.
It's from when, like, the red flag is established, right? So, like, every car has to pass you where you're at for you not to get your place back. And there's a lot of speculation on if every car did pass him. There's, like, camera angles that'll come out, picture, photo shots of it.
Not including the cars involved in
correct.
The red
flag. Any car that can continue, right? So the three cars that were involved, obviously, they're excluded from that. But it's, I don't know. It was, like, even, it was Jensen Button after the race, like, when he was interviewing him, was just like, you're lucky that you got to, like, start back in P3.
That was a wild thing to say, too, by the way.
But it's, I mean, it's accurate. Wrong. It's super like, there accurate. Was, there's a good amount of speculation on that of like, was it right for him to start back P3 when every car had lapped him? Not lapped him, passed him.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I feel like we've seen this happen before where a red flag has come out in the first lap and, the restart goes back to what the starting grid was, but the other times I've seen it happen, it's because we haven't passed that first sector yet. So there's like no like timing to any of the cars really for them to be in another position. So it's interesting. I like hearing, I'm happy that you looked it up. It's interesting hearing that. Yeah, I feel like every car had to have passed him. I mean, he was
when
in the runoff
flag,
area.
So I don't know
when was the red flag.
The red flag came out
because,
late. I
and
feel
that,
like
that's why
right?
I guess
Zhao wasn't
some
quite through all that carnage yet.
The red
you
flag
I mean?
Came out when Leclerc was getting to that like big chicane part, right?
Yeah. So I think that's where like the I guess there
like
was
after
some
the tunnel
confusion on my part. Is like, is it when the red flag like waves when they declare it a red flag? Is like when the yellow goes? Because I mean, there wasn't really a yellow. It was like, all right, this is obviously going to be a red.
Right.
So I don't really know. There's so much gray area with it because at the end of the day, it's an eye that has to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they can use computers and all that jazz, but it's a judgment call by the FIA at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's all you can really say about it, right? I mean, they can't go back and change the results, right? At this point, it's too late, right?
No.
Yeah.
How often would that have happened?
And so we'll jump into it later around where the points line up, but I mean, it's a huge point swing for Ferrari for him to get third.
100%.
It would have been a huge point swing for, you know, McLaren. I guess you could say Mercedes, that doesn't really matter, but Verstappen too.
Still, though.
I mean, sixth versus fifth.
Yeah.
I mean,
still though.
It's not huge, but it's still different. A lot because he got third now.
No, and then Ferrari as a team as a whole, you know, it's what third is 15 points.
18
isn't second.
Third, third is 15. Yeah.
So I mean, that's 15 points for Ferrari as a team, for Carlos and his standings. Like that's huge because I mean, if he goes to the back of the pack, he's obviously not getting top 10.
No.
You're just not passing.
Most
anybody.
Likely not. Not even sniffing.
Yeah.
So no, big deal in the points again. Like Cole said, we'll touch on that in a minute. Let's just move right into McLaren. Unless anybody has any parting thoughts on Ferrari, but I mean, I think we pretty much covered it.
I think the biggest thing is like, we can't take it away from Charles, right? It was a boring race. Yeah. But at the end of the day, he won that race by qualifying. He did what he had to
100%.
Do to win the race.
That's
right? So it's like all props to Charles, man. That it was really cool to see.
And by a decent margin, 2/10, I think he got it. So
qualifying. Yeah.
He deserved
his
that win.
His Q3 qualifying lap was just silly.
It was great. Yeah.
No, winning Monaco is still a big deal. I mean, it's still a race you'd want to win, especially it being your home track.
Yeah.
Obviously,
they say everyone want to win Monaco. Yeah.
So yeah, no, the fact that we're saying it's a boring race absolutely should not take away from what was done.
And I mean, we talked about if Verstappen took, we thought that he was pole. We thought Verstappen second. Maybe that's the only way to pass. But I mean, still, I mean, he did everything. He earned it. He did everything he did. You know, he put in
100%. Yeah. He earned it.
He raced a clean lap or a clean race.
Yeah,
100%. He earned it. And we're iffy on if Carlos earned third or not. But another guy that we know earned his spot is Oscar, dude, at second.
What a weekend!
What a race! What a weekend for Oscar, dude. Man. That dude is becoming more and more consistent week by week, finishing in front of Lando this week, obviously qualifying for him too. But, I mean, what a drive from Oscar, dude. It's starting to happen every week. I think we got good things coming from him this next weekend too.
It's kind of crazy too, is with Leclerc, the gap he had to Piastri and how close the next three were.
Yeah, for sure. No, Leclerc ran away with it at the end. But
any other track, Piastri doesn't sit there though. Obviously, it's Monaco, you know.
And with the way that McLaren is right now,
so,
brother.
Bro?
How close the race was, though?
I get you.
With science?
But Monaco's not designed, like, that's not McLaren's track.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know. I just.
I I feel like it's hard to tell because last year, only half of the year, they were really good. And it was Oscar's rookie year, so he was still, you know, in that rookie stage. Granted, amazing rookie year. but I think this year we're really seeing, like, him comfortable in a car, going the pace he has. Obviously, he was better at this track than Lando was. I don't think there's any argument against that. I'm really excited to see him just at other tracks to see, like, where else he excels. I just think, in general, he's really good at Monaco, and it just happens to be a good track for him. In practice, he was one of the people that was getting so close to that wall in swimming pool, I think they call it. He's, yeah, super comfortable. When I saw Lando, ever since Lando got into McLaren, I've seen him, like, his first season, I've always said that's a future, like, champion. Like, that's Lando. I'm seeing the same kind of things out of Oscar right now. Like, his rookie season was amazing. His second season is going super well. Like, I see it out of him. I think he's going to have more really good races.
And nothing to take away, obviously, with second there. He earned that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just like everybody else. And the positions, they all earned those positions, right? But I don't know. Yeah, I think he is stepping up. He is obviously proving himself. He's just not there yet. He's not a consistent top three yet, but he's getting there. He's getting there ever more so. By the end of the year, he could be.
Who is really consistent top three this year?
Well, I think we're gonna see one Maxwell. Of the Ferraris, Max, obviously. Max, yeah.
He's had
not
two,
this, not yet.
Two, we've had two what outside, seven races? He's finished outside the top three in two of them.
I would still be pretty confident with him finishing in the top three.
Yeah, I would give that. Consistent. But I mean, Oscar's been consistently top six, top five.
He's right there.
And I would say Norris is more of, obviously, not. You can't say they're consistently at top three every week, but, like, that's more somebody, if you're going to put your money on, you're putting on Norris to get in the top.
100%.
I'd say that.
And then one of the Ferraris. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's what you're looking at. Like, so he's not up there where he's consistently every week being able to compete for the top three. He's not there yet. But he is, obviously, you just said his rookie season last year. Mm-hmm. This season, he's showing a ton of improvement. I think he could get there by the end of the year where he's fighting with Norris more. He's fighting more for that top dog seat, you know, more competition there. It's going to be fun to see how that unfolds the next couple
honestly,
of years.
I think
too.
It's closer than you think, because even the race that Lando won, Oscar started P2.
He did.
True.
He finished, in terms of head-to-head quality this year with Lando, they're like neck and neck.
That's it right there. Head-to-head quality. And start of the race, Oscar's there. I don't think he's proven himself later in the race and with tire management. We saw it in Miami. He was starting to fall behind, like, and Lando was keeping his pace up. I think, so, like, the maturity, I think he still needs to get. But yeah. I think, like, he's super close to Lando right now. I just don't think in the latter parts of the race he's there.
And like I said, end of the season, I think we see them competing a lot more. Right now, he's not there, but he's showing a ton of improvement.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Ever since he's had a car underneath him, he's been...
Yeah,
so good.
Top five, top six driver on the track.
He's the Russell for McLaren.
100%.
And still finishing second. I mean, you still got to drive well enough in quality to even get that opportunity. And not to go back on what you said, but when you said, like, if it was another track, you don't know if he would have been, you know, in second per se or whatever, been there. But I mean, at the same time, everybody's managing tires and crap like that at Monaco. I just think Monaco's its own anomaly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can't compare. I get it.
Yeah. So I think, you know, looking forward, I agree with you. I think he's going to battle Lando, but I think he's going to battle the Ferraris too. I think he's going to be right there in the conversation for podiums.
Ooh.
100%.
I think he's consistent at top five right now.
Oh, yeah.
That I agree with.
Yeah.
That I agree with.
I don't think he's battling every week for podiums.
But I think, you know, I think both McLarens have an opportunity to continue to beat out Checo. I don't know what's going on. Obviously, this weekend was a little different. Not necessarily his fault.
Is it?
No, qualifying, it was his fault.
Qualifying
completely.
Was his fault.
Yeah.
Qualifying was his fault. The race situation was not his fault, but starting where he was completely his own.
Right.
His own
nothing
doing.
Happened. He didn't. Nothing happened to him in qualifying. He just didn't qualify well, right?
He got knocked out of Q1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a really bad quality.
Let's go right into Red Bull. Obviously, Max finishing, what did he finish? P6, I think it was. But let's talk about Checo. Why is he struggling so much, dude? I mean, this is a track where, like Tyler alluded to earlier, it's literally a time trial, man. And if you know, he's still a skilled driver, but he just couldn't get it done.
I don't think that Red Bull's where it was.
Well, 100. I mean, we saw that.
To be honest with
you,
I think
if Max is finishing second, then we know the car's not quite there.
I think the biggest thing is Mr. Newey not giving them all their time anymore. Ever since he departed, that car's gone down the...
Yeah, but I wouldn't have expected such a quick decline. And you think it's just a morality thing?
He was still in the Red Bull gear.
So it's just a morality thing, maybe. Then.
I don't know, because if he's not both feet in...
Sure.
Like, I think Nui is the driving force behind Red Bull's success, and I think that's playing out in front of our eyes right now with him not full dedication to Red Bull.
So two follow-ups to that. First, do you think this affects Verstappen maybe leaving to another team? And two, do you not see Red Bull taking the constructors this year? And I guess we can get into that in the standings.
Ooh, I'll say the second one we'll get into
later.
Let's
wait for that standings for sure.
I don't think Max has a choice but to be in a Red Bull this year because there's no better spot. Like, where's he going to go? Mercedes?
At least for next season, yeah. At least
you know,
for next
year, it's. I think if he's going to make a change, it's 2026 with the new regs.
Nui was staring down that McLaren card hard,
and he was talking
on the red flag. They showed him or whatever, and he's just mean mugging the McLaren dude. He's just studying that car so hard right now.
Before the race,
dude, that'd be so sick.
Before the race, there was conversations with him and Zach.
Really?
They were walking around the course together, chatting. There's a ton of photos of that.
Boy, you McLaren fanboys would be jumping off the house.
You know what's crazy? This is going to sound crazy, and you guys can call me crazy for saying it.
You're crazy.
I almost feel like I'm going to like McLaren less if Nui goes there, just because I always have a thing for underdogs. If, like, McLaren's jump to the top and they get to the pace Max is at, I don't know, man. It'll make me want to root for other people.
But this is also, like, the point of an underdog story.
Wow.
Yeah.
The point of an underdog story is to get somebody to build a team. It's like if you watch any sports movie,
look at Mercedes.
Any team.
But McLaren's already kind of there, right? They're building their team.
But every team, no matter what facet it is, no matter what sport it is, it's about, okay, a coach steps in. Somebody steps in to change the tide from a team that's growing to a team that's great.
You're adding, do you watch NFL at all?
No.
Probably not so much. Do you know who Tom Brady is?
Yeah.
You're adding Tom Brady to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and leading them to a Super Bowl, home slice.
Sure.
It's a very good analogy.
I just want it to come from Lando and Oscar. Obviously.
Which I get, though. I get your feeling.
Not all the drivers. It's the team behind it. And it.
For sure.
I don't think I'm going to be that upset. Let's just get that straight.
Gotta,
I just think there's going to be like.
You would be happy.
It's just, I'm just going to have in the back of my mind, it's like they wouldn't be here without Nui. And that sucks, right?
Yeah, but you got to think of it this way, though, too, Joe. Would you rather see this? Him go to Ferrari and Ferrari wins the next 6 world championships and McLaren doesn't have a chance?
No, I would hate that, too.
You know what I'm saying? So wherever he goes, he's going to give him the extra
fair.
Edge.
That's
so.
Fair.
So if you had to pick, you'd rather him come
I'd rather
you
go
than...
to McLaren. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I want him to go to McLaren. I just know I have that in the back of my head. I just hope I don't start resenting
it
McLaren.
It would be super dope to see like Lando or even Oscar get one or two more wins this year.
Oh, yeah.
Just so they can kind of show like, hey, we don't necessarily... Like, I don't think McLaren has a chance of winning the Constructors or one of them winning the WDC.
Yeah.
I just think Ferrari and Red Bull are just still right there. They're just... It's going to be too much of a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be interesting to see if Nui went there, man.
Yep.
It would be crazy.
The orange Red Bull.
Let's talk about Red Bull real quick. Not a ton to say. I feel like we don't talk about Red Bull that much because either they're winning or they're, you know, underperforming for what they are. But has anybody, I know it's only Tuesday and the race was literally 2 days ago, but has anybody heard about any upgrades coming for Red Bull at all?
Yeah.
Like,
not this next race, not this next weekend, but the weekend after. I think they have
Spain,
some upgrades.
They got
coming.
Upgrades
so,
coming.
Yeah, we'll talk about this when we get into Canada, but I think we might have another interesting Canada race. I'm hoping.
Oh,
I'm hoping.
Well, okie dokie then. Yeah, no, and I'll mention that other two, Canada. No, I feel you. All right, anyway, Haas. We'll just mention them really quick because they're kind of in the same boat as Red Bull, at least for this race. Let's just, K-Meg, did he really need to do that, push it? At the same time, now let me riddle you this. When I first watched, I was like, what an idiot, dude. For sure, 100%. But at the same time, there's no passing opportunities at Monaco. So you have... what you think is an opportunity anyway, to pass a Red Bull at Monaco, and he decided to take it. Obviously, it didn't work out. But, you know, if you see the onboard camera of Sergio, he definitely looks in his mirror right before K-Meg tries to shoot the gap that's not existing because the cars are too wide for Monaco and blah, blah, blah. But was that worth it? Like,
never,
if he gets past him, is it worth it then?
Never in 100 years are you going to complete that pass. You're just not. You're not going to complete that pass in Monaco because then they're going into, like, there's not enough room to complete the overtake on the outside before you have to take that inside corner, and you're just not going to get around them. You can't run too wide at Monaco.
And no penalties for that?
I think
a driver that's already borderline facing suspension? And you're not going to give him. I mean, that seems like an easy decision for me.
I think. But the problem is that there was a gap.
He's trying to go jet skiing with Checo.
Yeah,
bro.
He is. And you got to go for the gaps, right? It closed incredibly quickly, and it ruined three cars' races. I think because it ruined Nico's race, that maybe it's maybe something should have probably happened. But like it, I Checo also could have given him more space.
He
right?
could have.
I saw after the race people starting to actually side with K-Mag. I'm not. I just saw
Jeremy Clarkson did.
Yes. I wasn't going to name names, but yes, exactly. He started siding. I saw a few other F1 reporters were siding as well. Yeah, I'm happy with it being a racing incident. I think it sucks that Hülkenberg got involved 100%. As well.
As he
if
said, quote,
if a penalty was to be given out, are we in agreement that it's probably K-Mag that would get it?
Yeah.
If you have to give a penalty, for I sure. think it has I to think, be K-Mag, but I like how I like no penalty.
Yeah.
Let him race.
I think Sergio racing. Did give him kind of a late block there, but like at the same time, I just don't think that gap was there.
Rubin's racing. Let him race. Monaco, at least there's something to light it up a little bit, huh?
You should be watching NASCAR on Sundays if Rubin's racing, buddy, not millions of dollars worth of damage.
Red Bull can afford it.
Yeah.
Oh, they were saying
they can afford signs. They were saying they can afford to have Sergio wreck his whip.
They were saying that crash hurt them. That's going to delay a few upgrades, I think, for him.
Most teams budget about $1 to $2 million worth of damage for the year. That's what they budget that's both cars for the entire season. It's estimated that was going to cost Red Bull $2.3 million.
How is Haas still in business?
Not only is it the financial implication, but now, like Joe said, like now you have to rebuild all those parts. So the parts you're gonna the time you're spending on upgrading what you currently have, now you're spending rebuilding so you can get a car on the track.
Yeah, bro.
Like they have spare parts, obviously, but like that's a spare car at this point with the condition that car was in.
Rough to say the least. I was curious what they do with all those parts. They're like piling them up. I was like,
they send them to Africa for the kids that get the shirts that you know.
The Super Bowl shirts of the losers. As Hülkenberg said, quote, damn it, that was unnecessary. And I'll just go ahead and agree with him there. I don't think he needed to do it.
Watching that live was crazy. Or not watching the replay back, because like K-Meg literally was like driving him into the wall. Yeah, that did not look like an F1 car after he was gone.
Dude. It was crazy.
No way. That was a hard hit though. Was a hard hit. It was good to see Sergio get out of it. But before the race, I think you added this in there, Joe. Both Haas were DQ'd from qualifying?
Yeah, it was a really, really bad weekend for Haas. So at the end of qualifying, both cars were disqualified for a rear wing setup infringement.
Wasn't DRS specifically had something to do with the DRS?
Yeah, so it's how I think, don't quote me on this, but it's in the realm of this. There are a couple of like adjustments you can make for like how open the DRS wing can get. And they had a new part had a new like part for that on the wing that the mechanics were not trained on, and it was dialed too high up. So technicians came over, saw that, and were like, hey, you're like 0.2 centimeters off. So you're out of the,
I think they
out
just
of the
eyeballed
session.
That sucker. Yeah. That's about 0.2 off. That ain't gonna fly.
Can you have like any more of a Haas move? You get a new part and your mechanics aren't trained.
Official statement. It was like an error in mechanic training. And I was like, of course it was. And I said this last week too. I was like, Haas has been looking good. They haven't had any like off track issues. Like their pits have been great.
But
I willed this into existence.
On you, homie.
It's on me. I'm sorry.
Homie,
I apologize.
Buddy.
That's on
Golly.
Me.
Yeah, that's enough about Haas. Hopefully they get a little bounce back. Alpine.
Oh, boy.
Boy, oh, boy. Same lap as the complete carnage that we saw around the couple corners before, but Ocon, why, man? Why?
It
may have just cost him his job.
Nah, it's not costing him his
allegedly.
Job.
You think even a race? You think it's costing him a race?
No. You don't think even one. I think it'll absolutely cost him a race, dude. Because it's time and time again. Now I'm not saying Gasly's a saint by any means. They battle each other hard, which
I can appreciate. You can have. Like they've been rivals their entire F1 career since they grew up karting against each other. Why would you pair these cats up and expect them to be friendly?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I think that's a great point. Are they both? Are they both from the same country too? Is Esteban from there? No,
yeah,
he's
they're
not.
Both French.
Is Esteban French too? Like, I think there's just a lot of pride there in each of them, personally. So, of course, they're going to race each other hard. But I think that was just unnecessary, man.
Ocon's always been an aggressive racer, too.
He is. Yeah, that is his style.
Gasly hasn't always been that aggressive.
And that's why I think they're going to sit him for a race. Like, just... Bro, chill the heck out, man. No coffee for you.
I think they sit him for one race. I agree.
Why do you think they don't?
Because he scored points the race before. He has one of their 2 points on the year. You're going to put some guy who's never raced an F1 in there and expect him to try to go get a point? Like, they need all the points they can get.
Yeah, but who would...
True, and Gasly's not... It's not like Gasly's blowing everybody out of the water right now either.
Who's in reserve?
Jack Doohan.
And that's who's allegedly going to take his seat, potentially, for the one race.
Maybe they want to see if there's something in him.
I mean, they should.
Just like you said, there's... I mean, there are 2 points. What does it hurt for one race to put in that
car? For one race, why not?
In that car?
That one race, though, if he doesn't get points and maybe Esteban gets a 9th or 10th, that could those few points could cost you 9th or 8th at the end
of
the year.
How many races has Esteban got points in this year?
One.
So I just... That's a risk I'm willing to take at this point.
Yeah, I agree. He can't stand on the
I'll push for Gasly to get into points. If you think Esteban can get into points at Canada, I would think Gasly can as well. So I'd do everything you can to push consistent. Him. I would agree. But I would push Gasly to get in, you know, into points and just see what Doohan.
Yep.
Doohan. See what he's got.
That's what FP1's for.
Yeah.
For one race.
True. There was a lot of talk. I think one of the funniest parts of the race was hearing the Alpine boss, hearing the commentators say that he was already on French news, saying like how disappointed he was in Ocon for taking that
tough decision.
Yeah.
Quote.
Yeah. So I think I'm with you in that. I think that they're all talk. I don't think they're actually going to bench him because I mean, why would you bench your driver? If he's like the best, if he's the best possibility for points and you're in the position that Alpine's in, you're going to want to use him.
And you're paying him quite handsomely.
You're going to remember that. Like, you're going to remember that he tried fighting on an awful corner in Monaco. He was in 11th place. If someone above 10th got like disqualified, that's 2 points. That's 3 points for Alpine. They're going to remember that. Like, at that point in the race, that's what they're thinking. They're like, you just lost us a possibility for more points. We're going to remember that. Like, you're aggressive. This is like a repeat. He's consistently aggressive. I think there's also arguments that Gasly has done similar things before. And absolutely. Sure, for sure. But I think Ocon is consistently like this. And that's a problem.
I think Ocon's driving himself out of a seat in F1 next year.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it, right? The contract's up. I think you just see what you have in Jack. Just see what you even have in an F1 car. In a race, at race pace, in a race scenario, just see what you even have. Because, you know, you said you think the best, you know, Alpine's best bet at getting points is leaving Ocon in the car. I would agree with that. Now, is it in Alpine's best interest to have Ocon in the car next season? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're looking at, even right now, this early in the season. See what happens. You do not look like you agree, and that's cool.
I know. I mean, I don't think you can take a seat out of it. Well, I mean, you can't take a guy out of a seat.
We'll see in a week.
I mean, it'd be one thing if, like, he was consistently finishing. Like, if this would happen to Valtteri or Logan right now, I could wholeheartedly understand that because they have consistently finished P17 or worse.
Sure.
Ocon has been consistently 10th through 15th.
Yeah.
I just see how you could take him out of the seat right now because I get it. Yeah, you can't battle your teammate. I fully understand that. But and especially in like those circumstances because you're fighting for 10th place with your teammate. You can't sacrifice the point for the team, especially in Monaco.
Right, for sure.
But I just don't see how you can just take him out.
And I get what you're saying, the consistency between 10 and 15, but I don't view that as a good thing either. Like, you're consistently finishing 10 for 15. Well, at least you're not 15 to 20, right?
Since they got the card underweight to actual specifications, he's been consistently finishing 10 through 12.
We'll see. We'll see what Alpine does in Canada.
Time will tell.
Man, I want to say Mercury for some reason. Mercedes. George with a pretty good drive. A pretty good weekend, I would say, as a whole.
With that fastest lap, he might find himself on the periodic table as a new element, dude. Mercury.
Lewis Hamilton got it.
That's what I said.
I was talking about George.
But I got what you're saying. That was good. But it ruined it.
Science. Right. Science, what about it?
What about science?
Mercury. Mercedes, George, Hamilton, great race. Fastest lap out of Hamilton. Love to see it.
I'm super confused right now.
I think I just had a stroke.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really anything much to say about Mercedes, I don't think.
Car sucks.
Fifth and seventh. Hamilton with the fastest lap. What tires did he have on? Was it mediums?
I think it was mediums. I don't think anyone...
Or did they get... Did he go for another box and just put softs on to get fastest? Or no?
I don't think he got softs.
I don't think he had that much of a gap.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I don't think anyone in the top 10 put softs on at all.
Sure.
During that race.
Fair enough. V-carbs. Yuki, as I've donned him, quote, the consistent Tsunoda in points again. Again, just making that argument for...
A bigger seat.
A bigger seat, dude.
Now,
Do you think Red Bull would actually look at him over Checo, though?
No. No, at this point, I don't. I agree with Tyler on this. Beginning of the season, maybe. But right now, I agree with Tyler. A big thing, too, though, with Yuki, I heard rumors of him with Haas.
Why would you do that?
And a couple other teams.
I don't think I would do that.
That would be silly.
I don't think I would do that. Now, 2026, if there's something crazy coming, which I do not believe, but for Haas, but... Why would you want to? Just change a scenery?
Yeah,
assuming you're not going to get the Red Bull seat now?
Does Haas lead you to something else? I don't think he does it. Just rumors. It's not from my reliable news source. I'm just throwing out rumors.
I can only see him doing that if he, for some reason, can't keep his V-carb seat, right?
Which I think he has locked in right now.
I would hope he has locked in.
I don't know why they would put anybody else in that seat, especially versus like what Danny Rick's doing right now. Like, you got to go with Yuki.
And honestly, at this point, I think they could even keep Danny Rick. I don't think they should, but I think they could at this point. He's getting better as well.
He could find himself a spot.
Somewhere else.
Yeah. Maybe
I think he's making enough of an argument for V-carb to keep him one more season, too. As well.
I don't know about that.
I know they want to go younger, though. That's the thing.
That's kind of their model, right?
Right, 100%.
What I fully think is happening with Red Bull is they're going to keep Yuki on another, you know, one-year deal with V-carb, see what happens after next year with Max. Because there might be two Red Bull seats open at the end of next year. You got to put Yuki in one of them at that point.
If you lose Max, you have to keep Yuki, for sure. I would agree with that.
And then Checo is fighting back for a two-year deal.
That's what he wants?
Yeah.
He counteracted a one-year deal and said, I want 2 years.
Which is smart.
Which is also kind of crazy when we all thought that he was going to retire, maybe. You know?
That's what I mean. I don't think Red Bull would sign that.
I don't think Sergio has ever come out and said he has no intention of wanting to race. I think that's all just media saying, hey, Red Bull, like, I think Checo's time's up.
It might be, though.
I mean, V-carbs, what you guys want?
I'm just super, super disappointed. I want Danny in a good car, and I want him racing on the grid. Liam Lawson is a reserve driver still for Red Bull and for V-carb. Got to get him in a seat, man.
Especially with what he did last year.
Got to get him in a seat. And I'm fighting between Danny and Liam, and it's like, I don't want to fight against Danny, but Liam needs to prove himself. Like, give him a year, right?
Yeah.
Throw Danny in the reserve spot, maybe. I don't know. He's not performing. What if Liam can? I don't know. It's a tough situation.
I like
especially
that
with
idea.
How consistent Yuki's been.
I like
it's
that
not
idea.
The car.
It's really not. Yuki's been showing he's got the skill.
But you also, like, with Ricardo, it's how bad does he really want to race next year if it's not in a big seat, I think. That's where it comes down to. I think this seat this year and the end of last year was because he was like, I'm going to be in a Red Bull.
Yeah.
That was his whole mindset.
Agree.
So how bad, like, if he came back and this year just built up that energy in him that he had back when he was on the Red Bulls or back on the Renaults or whatever it may be, or the McLaren, if that got rejuvenated, I think we see him in a car next year. I just don't know if it is.
Does Red Bull go, Danny, you can have that second seat, and Checo's gone completely and Liam's in that second seat at V-carb?
No, I think if Danny comes back next season, it's in a bottom tier car. If he comes back next season, it's in Sauber, Alpine.
Is that worth
Haas.
It for him to stay on the grid?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He has to have that drive come back. He has to be rejuvenated and really want to go out there and make something happen again in F1.
Makes me want to go back and watch the early.
I don't see it, but that's the only way he's doing it. That's the only way he's doing it is if he rebuilt that energy and momentum to like want to really do it.
Makes me want to watch season one of Drive to Survive again just to see him in a Red Bull car.
Yeah,
isn't season one when he won
just
Monaco?
For yeah. Jumped in the pool
belly,
and all
belly
that
flop
stuff.
Dive.
Williams, Albon hits points.
Albon
hits
points.
Let's
go. First points.
Another skilled
Long
driver
time
being handicapped by a car, I think. honestly. Definitely. I think he's still a dark horse, not for the Red Bull seat, to be honest, but do they look at him for the V-carb?
I mean, I would love to see Albon in that other Merck seat.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Albon's stuck in Williams for 2 years, for at least 2 years, so he's there for a while.
Okay. Well, but if Merck came calling, he's out of that Williams deal instantly.
I was just
that's a good point.
I was just going to say, if they signed with Williams, can Mercedes come in and
That contract doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I was just curious. So, yeah, nothing really else to say about that. Good for Albon. Sargent is... away. Anyway, Aston's outside of points. That's kind of weird. Fernando not hitting points.
Terrible weekend for Fernando. Just terrible weekend.
Aston as a
whole.
I mean, Stroll, I think, even had a better weekend than Fernando.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Fernando finished 11th, Stroll finished 14th.
I think we'll at least see Alonso back in points next week. Or, I'm sorry, in a week and a half. Because we're doing this early. But... just a bad weekend for Aston. I don't think there's really anything else to be said about them unless anybody else has anything, but
You know what would be terrible? So since we brought it up on last podcast, if they're doing the sprints every weekend to like try to gain it, what a terrible sprint race that would be in Monaco.
No doubt.
How just terrible would that be?
I don't think they'd ever do it.
Well, if they were proposing bringing a sprint race to every single race next year, or they were in talks to gain viewership and gain whatever. To bring a sprint race to every race.
Not super excited about that proposal.
I brought it up last episode.
Did you?
We haven't talked.
I'm like a dog. 10 minutes, buddy.
We haven't talked about it a lot, but like one of the biggest reasons why Monaco was so... obviously, there's like no places to pass very well. But another reason is that they were all 4 seconds off the pace because they were all managing their tires so they didn't have to pit again. If we brought a sprint here, they wouldn't have to do that. They would just
That's
be pushing
true.
You'd
see all them
out. So we'd see them at least trying to do something. I would hope.
That just
sounds
dangerous money wise.
Yeah.
You know, you run into a Checo situation and now that car is going to cost you a lot of money for a sprint, dude.
That's
true. You just wrecked that. So I don't know how hard they would push. You would think they would more.
You would hope so.
But That would be really crappy to have a sprint there.
That's kind of the goal in general of the sprint, and not making it so where you ended up on the sprint is where you started on the race. The goal of that entirely was for there to be more fighting in the sprint.
Sure.
And we're already
sure.
not really seeing that this year, even on easier tracks.
Yeah.
It's not as there's been a couple, I guess, with like the Lewis finishing second and all that. And those three fighting between the two Ferraris and Checo. What race was that? Japan?
I can't remember. 10 minutes.
But it was like, yeah. But I think that was the goal, and we're seeing it somewhat. But overall, I don't think it's going to be that big of a jump, because the reality is, if you have a wreck like Checo did, you're not racing the next day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. True. Yeah. So 100%. That's right.
And I think that's going to be the thing that would hurt the racing. Is like you're going to try to take care of the car because you need to make the money's on Sunday.
For sure.
It's almost a dumb. It's almost a dumb move for them to switch that for the sprint and make it too qualifying. Like, you know how it used to be with the sprint where you ended up...
It had
an implication on that.
Yeah.
Which typically, I mean, at least at that rate, a couple guys would gain a spot or two, or a couple guys would climb up, whatever it may be. Right now, like you're saying, it's just kind of, okay, let's maintain the car. Let's make sure the car is okay. There's still not that aggressive fighting that everybody's hoping for.
The bottom few probably are fighting more than most.
Yeah,
and they've gotten some points in the sprint, so again, like, it's been good for them, but I just don't think it's worth having, especially at Monaco. Golly.
Yeah, I didn't even think about, like, the FIA would probably need to raise the cost caps a little bit and maybe get them more part allocations if they're racing. Like, if they're in a race, what is it, 52 times a year? Like, that's...
You know what they'd almost have to do? Bring a spare car back.
Well, they already have, a spare car entirely, not just like a spare chassis and the parts.
But like the kicker with that too is like the reason that when I saw that article about a sprint in every race, the reason was to make it so there wasn't such a big gap and more teams are fighting for the higher end up at the top. But the kicker is if you increase the cost gap and people are going to be more aggressive, whatever it may be, because they have the extra money to do it, it still just hurts the bottom teams, not the upper teams.
Yeah, that's true.
For sure.
That's true.
To wrap Monaco, we did see, I know you said, Tyler, that Gasly may have overtook somebody maybe when he got hit by Ocon.
It was right before. Yeah, okay. It was right before. It was. I watched the onboard, and well, he had like passed somebody, and then Ocon came and just, wah!
The only clean overtake I saw was Bottas, so good for you, Valtteri.
But yeah, I mean, lap one, like, is there, like, that's not even
does
overtaking.
That count? Yeah, I don't know.
You
know, at
the start, it's not really, yeah. Like, especially in Monaco.
So,
is that your new sound effect, dude? What's going on there?
Let's head to news, Kev. Let's head to news. And back right into the news, of course. Let's just start off right away with Monaco. What would you change? Like, if you individually could change something about Monaco, whatever it may be, if they got to tear down half a block, don't do it. But if they do whatever, what would you change to the race to make it more interesting and less boring, as half the grid has alluded to?
I got two things. The first one, I'm not a huge fan of, mandatory 3 to 4 pit stops.
Like, you have
to make mandatory pit stops. You have to pit this many times during the race.
That I kind of like.
And then my other thing is get rid of that chicane at the end of the tunnel. Just make that a straight. Bring in another DRS zone going into that corner. And then, boom, you have two opportunities for overtaking. And that chicane, you lose so much time to the driver in front of you in that chicane alone, because you can't be aggressive with the guy in front of you.
100%. No, I like the chicane thing for sure. I like both ideas, but
that was the only thing I was thinking too, the chicane.
Are we all on the same freaking page?
Your first point was going to be my first point. More mandatory pit stops. My honorary point was going to be getting rid of the chicane. My second point that I was going to bring up was, and I don't feel strongly about this, but we only get Monaco every 5 years. Keep it historic. Keep it the same.
Do you still get points for the race, or is it a non-points
race at that point?
Of course.
I think. All right.
So the schedule is just one.
I don't
race
think. Okay, I don't think
five?
That's ever going to happen, because Monaco rakes in so much money and it's so historic for it. They're the only. I was looking this up last night. They're the only track that actually profits from having, or the only track that gets paid to have it there.
Oh wow.
Every other track pays to have it there. They're the only track that gets paid to have it because of how historic it is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's country's crazy. So I don't think it's ever going
to
happen.
4 years, we go back to Russia.
Ooh. Yeah, what other super historic track can we replace?
Nürburgring.
The Nürburgring? Yep. That track is not for F1 cars. No, that track is going to kill everyone.
I was
going to
say, that one might kill somebody, actually.
Yeah, it probably will. Yeah, so that's one of the things that I'm thinking of. Keep it historic. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I just find it's going to be so hard to mandate rules for a single track and not mandate them for other races, right? I'm sure they could do it. I mean, they can do whatever the hell they want to, but hey, you're coming into this race, you have to change your tires to a different compound at least once. That's every single race. Oh, except this one race. You have to do it 3 or 4 times, right? It'll create some really fun strategies. It'll definitely create racing because they want to use the tire to its fullest. It'll just, I don't know, it's just kind of weird in terms of how rules go, that we're making Monaco even more special than it is, and it might just stay boring, unfortunately.
But also, I mean, to the tire thing, the biggest thing that they've tried to do with the tires is make it so you're wasting less. Because that was the biggest thing with the people that were I don't know if you want to say protesting, but the biggest concern a lot of people had was the amount of tires they waste in F1.
Mm. Hey, I'll take one to make a table out of. I'll recycle one. They got one.
That's an interesting point. Those people are so dumb.
Well, yeah, but
it's like they're also.
But it's something that
I'm not saying
you gotta be aware of.
Right now, in this day and age, that is the voices that are gonna make the changes like that.
True.
If you're like, hey, we're gonna add 4 pit stops, well, then it's all freaking soft tires.
We're gonna go to all freaking
that's true.
Soft tires.
What's next? We're gonna go to all electric cars too.
Formula E for that.
Yeah, we're going to bring Formula E to F1.
Yeah, no.
Just get rid of all emissions.
I feel like 2 mandatory pit stops is more than enough, and just make sure you use a different compound at least once. I think you're golden, to be honest. Get a medium and get 2 softs.
I wouldn't even be opposed to, you have to use all 3 compounds.
At least once. Ooh, that'd be interesting.
That strategy would come into play.
Because
huge.
Hards are like,
that'd be interesting.
Hards can, obviously, we've seen it, they can last the entire race.
But if you're required to use all 3.
Yeah.
Screw it. Throw the wets on.
I see what strategies you do. You'd have to start with hards.
What if you throw more points at fastest lap?
Just for Monaco, though? Or just in general?
You do it in general.
I wouldn't mind it for in general.
I think
fastest
general.
Laps deserve
because you only get one, right?
A 5 pointer?
I think you should get more than
and
that.
And it would give incentive to more people to go and chase it during the race, too. And you'd see people just
That would encourage the people out of the points to get it and then deny other top 10 to get it, right?
So we might have to do that right now.
The rest of the field,
they can
though.
Do that right now.
They can do it right now, but
huge,
it's a single
disparity.
Point. Yeah.
Right now, 1 point is horrible for fastest lap because right now
there's no incentive.
No, there's no incentive. Yeah. And it's whoever's making the tires. Like last season, it was Max was up by a minute, and he's like, all right, I'm going to pit real quick, put on softs, and pull out the fastest lap, and then it's it.
Yeah.
It's more of like a bragging rights at this point. If we put more pressure on it, when the races are closer, you're going to have those guys 7 to 5 to 10 fighting for that extra 5 points.
Yeah.
And it's going to create more of that battle.
I like that idea, giving more points to fastest lap.
Just 5. Let's not get crazy here, huh?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I really like that idea, actually.
I think I'd only be annoyed if, like, a team like Williams was trying to take it every single race and they're just being, you know.
The thing about that, Joe, is, like, even if that was the case, somebody in the top 10 is going to take that chance to go and grab it.
Yes.
Oh, and creates more incentive for someone. Oh,
you know, because if you're finishing,
I was only
seventh,
thinking one step ahead. You guys are thinking three. But yeah, that makes sense.
If you're finishing seventh, why not pull off, try to get the fastest lap real quick, maybe finish ninth or tenth. The rest
maybe
of those people are probably going to do it.
Though.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's what makes it interesting. What's the strategy behind it? Because they could still pull out and not get the fastest lap. Or there could be seventh and sixth pulling off. Then you have two guys racing for the fastest lap. One might not even finish in the top 10.
Yeah,
I really like that idea. I'd say like 3 or 5 points. Yeah,
it would just make it a little bit more interesting.
All right, Max.
Let's real quick, last bit of news before we kind of give you a constructors and driver standings update. Carlos, his window has closed to sign the Audi deal.
Is that just speculation though? I think that's what we're talking about.
I think it has to be because there's no talks of it since April or May 26th, whatever the deadline was.
Go to your F1 dark web.
I'll try. What does that say? I mean, the reality is he's not going to be in a top 5 team. That might position him.
What team is out there? What top 5 team has a spot open?
Merck.
That's it.
I don't think he's going to chase a 1-year deal. Red Bull's out. I don't think Red Bull's in the equation.
But
anymore.
If he is past that Audi deadline,
because I don't think Red Bull's going to give him a more than a 1-year deal.
Why would you not?
I think he takes that over going to Haas right now.
Like if you're Red Bull,
if he can't go to Audi, why wouldn't he not take a 1 year at Red Bull over going to like a team like that?
Now that you say that though, Smelty, that's true. Like why wouldn't a Red Bull offer him more than a 1 year deal?
Because if they're worried
of Max leaving in 2026, you start to secure a top tier driver. That's a very good point.
It is weird. I wonder where he'll be. But you would absolutely you take a Red Bull over a Haas for sure. Yeah.
I just want to know the driver lineup next year. I just really want to know.
I know. We talk about it literally every time, so we might as well just continue that trend. Constructors, let's just talk about it. Red Bull at 276 points in first place at the moment. Ferrari sitting at 252, only 24 points behind Red Bull. How big was that? I mean, we've already kind of touched on it just a little bit, but again, Carlos being able to keep his position on the grid and Sergio not finishing the race.
I mean, that's 40 points.
That's a big
they
jump.
40 points in one race. That's a big jump. What's six? How many points is sixth?
Sixth place in a race?
Yeah.
It's
like 8? 7?
I think it's 8, yeah. To do some quick math.
It's either 8 or 10.
So you have...
You're at least gaining 30 points on Red Bull in one freaking race?
It is 8, yeah.
Heading into Canada...
So you're getting 32 points in one race.
Heading into Canada where Verstappen is not confident, saying that he thinks they're going to be much better in Spain because Canada's super bumpy, and that's where he's saying the car is super not ideal, is if you have to try to ride a curb in a corner or whatever, the car reacts horribly. So that's where Max is like not feeling Canada as well. So do we could see a Max outside the podium for Canada.
So
a Ferrari McLaren podium again.
So I think the biggest question here is obviously at the beginning of the year, we all were saying Red Bull runs away with it. Does Red Bull even win the Constructors this year?
I think so. I still think so.
I think they have it up.
I think it's going to be fun though.
I think it's going to be a fight. I think there's still a high chance they get it. I think that's the only championship that they're actually fighting for though.
So we talked about this a little bit earlier about Checo taking that other Red Bull seat. This Constructors may rely a lot on him throughout the rest of the season.
I think that's accurate.
And this is the first time this has happened for him in the Red Bull seat, where a lot of it's have to go out and do it.
So is he feeling that extra pressure? You think?
How does he perform in that? And how much does that affect Red Bull taking
home
the Constructors?
He's racing for that Red Bull seat. If he races good enough and they win the Constructors, he gets that other deal. That he gets that one more year.
Well,
whether
I think,
signs it or not, because he wants to now, allegedly.
They've made the decision on that seat well before we get
you
to
think
that
that's
point.
Done?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they're not going to wait until the end of the year to fill that seat.
I wouldn't think so.
That just does, so last year was an anomaly with Williams holding up with Sargent.
Sure.
Like, because it was in the end of the year. That, like, doesn't happen.
We saw that point.
Usually
off.
The driver lineup set by the midseason break.
Right, yeah. right.
Usually.
So, if he keeps performing like he has been, though, does he not even get looked at for that seat?
I think they have to consider that. You have to. Because, I mean, even if you do get, like Yuki's outperforming him. Well, okay, just one race. The race before, I guess, Yuki Perez still finished above.
But for the car, he's outperforming.
But that's the thing, is like, if you look at the driver talent, like with the cars that they're given, why wouldn't you give that seat to Yuki? Like, why wouldn't you?
I think though, if they do win constructors, Checo has proven that he deserves it one more year.
I think it depends on where he finishes, though.
But is it
because last year Max won it by himself? You take Checo out of the equation, Max won the constructors.
Exactly.
That's not going to happen this year.
If we see, if Max ends up winning every one of the races from here on out, and they just win it just based on Max, then it's whatever. But yeah, I think it's going to rely a lot on Checo.
I'd love to bring this back up because one of us have already said it. Red Bull's already offered him a one-year deal. And he came back saying, no, I want two.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already offered him the seat.
Well, that's been what Red Bull has said the entire time, though. Right. They said this is Checo's seat. He's under contract for next year.
If we're taking Red Bull's word, I mean, you know, if we're taking it, he's got the seat. He just needs to accept it.
He's not a free agent at the end of this year. He's under contract for Red Bull until next year.
Until next year? Until the end of last year?
If I'm not mistaken.
I thought his contract is up this year.
Oh, Max.
Yeah. Checo?
Yeah, who are you talking about?
Max or Checo?
Max, yeah.
Checo's up at the end
Checo's
of this year.
Checo's up at this year.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm wrong then.
Well, let's not dive too deep into the seats again, like we always do every 5 minutes. Obviously, we got McLaren at third at 184, 68 points behind Red Bull, but Mercedes only 20 points behind McLaren at that point. Does Merck have a chance at catching McLaren? I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Not even close. No shot.
88 points, man.
And then Aston.
I think the biggest ones here to jump in on this, Schmaltzy, the biggest thing to look at is, one, can Haas maintain seventh? Can they stay in the seventh spot? That'd be huge for them. And two, does Racing Bulls catch Aston?
I think they do.
Wow. I think they could at this point with what Aston's shown us the recent weeks.
What's the highest the Racing Bulls have finished? I think they finished fifth. I think we see Aston at sixth, and fingers crossed, Haas takes seventh. Whatever happens below, let it happen.
I think we've seen enough from Hulk and K Mag some races. Obviously, he's not amazing, but we've seen enough that, like, I think they could honestly hold seventh.
I think they do.
I think they could.
But does Racing Bulls catch Aston? I think that's the biggest thing. I think the rest, I think three and
I mean,
four.
20 points back, dude. They could.
There's a lot of season left.
There's a lot of season left. I feel like, Alonso has had more good races than he has bad races. I think the last two have been very bad for him. I think he probably comes back. I don't know what it has been with Alonso. Is he just like off his game a little bit, or is the car just really not good? I don't know, because Stroll's been doing what Stroll does. So I feel like he hasn't fallen back. It's just been kind of Alonso that's been making up a little bit. I'm more interested to see if Haas maybe catches even Racing Bulls. Like, maybe they even take the sixth.
Yuki's too consistent.
I think with Yuki's consistency as well, backing out off that, it's Yuki's so consistent that just because being that consistent, he will get rewarded with a sixth or a fifth this year. He'll get rewarded with a big points jump. And I think right now, just looking at this,
you think Yuki's going to finish fifth or sixth?
I think he gets rewarded with it because of his consistency. With something crazy.
In the WDC or the constructors?
No, in a race. In one race.
Oh, in one race. I'm talking driver.
Okay.
I'm like, there's no way.
I think he gets rewarded with fifth or sixth this year because of how consistent he's been. And I think that's going to be a huge point jump. And right now, I think Aston is going to be consistently fighting for the eighth, ninth, tenth. Like, they're going to be the bottom of the barrel now. Oh. I think their time of their sprint of Alonso finishing in the top five, top six is done. I think they're competing for the bottom of the barrel and competing against people like Yuki, who he's going to have, you know, he's so consistent, he's going to have a race that pops out for fifth, sixth.
For sure.
Aston's going to need some big upgrades. Because that car just looks like it's getting worse and worse. And that V-carb, even Danny Rick is getting more consistent. You know, he's getting back to race form.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, Yuki's just, he's a consistent. I mean, just looking at it right now, he's had three of the eight races where he didn't finish in points. So he's 5 for 8
that's
in points finishes.
Good.
That's pretty good.
Good for him. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, the upgrade that Aston needs is probably Newey to show up next year.
No, the upgrade that Aston needs, the upgrade that Aston needs sits in their second seat.
Yeah,
we know that, though. And we know that's not going to happen. Also, just a note before we go into driver points real quick. I totally said your table wrong. Your nice, beautiful table that you made. Ferrari's 24 points behind Red Bull and McLaren's 68 points behind Ferrari. I was thinking that was the points behind the leader. So, yeah, no, much, much bigger discrepancy there.
This was a huge race for Ferrari.
Yes. No doubt. No, 100%.
Huge race for Ferrari.
No,
even splitting the McLarens.
You imagine, Lewis, if Ferrari wins the Constructors this year and Lewis gets to walk into that team next year, watch out for Lewis. This is where we start seeing more hammer time.
We'll see. Lewis does not look like himself this year. No, I know the car is crap. No, but he just does not look like himself.
Car side, he doesn't look like Lewis Hamilton right now.
Driver points. Max leading the way, obviously, at 169. Personally, do not see anybody really catching him. I mean, if they do bring upgrades, I think Max still runs away with the driver points, but I think it'd be a lot closer than it has been last year, at least. Leclerc's win was huge this week, but I think you could see Lando trying to catch Leclerc, honestly.
I can see Leclerc catching Max. I think it's going to be a battle between them at the end of the year. It's 31 points right now. Like, Leclerc's been, I mean, with it, taking into account Max, obviously he has 5 wins on the year, but Leclerc's fourth, third, second, fourth, third, first.
What if Max DNFs one more time?
Then they're caught up, more or less.
Say Lando wins that race, that's 25-point swing.
Yeah.
I mean, even if Lando wins, or sorry, not Lando, Leclerc. If Leclerc wins and then Max finishes 6th again, what did we say, it was 8? That's an 18-point swing in one race.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it could be huge. The only thing that's kind of glaring to me, I'm just curious.
17, American public education.
Yeah, yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Piastri, do we think he could actually catch Checo by the end of the season with the way things have been going for Checo? I know it's that's
36
kind of,
points is a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, if it was like Lando, I would say maybe because Lando has the ability to go and win a race.
I
would argue that Oscar has the ability to go and win a race.
The tail of the Ferraris, though.
Which is fine. He's got to get more consistent, which he's been doing the last few weeks, but we got to see it over the course of a season.
I think, too, that like the tail of the Ferraris here, with how good Sainz started off the season, and now we're seeing Leclerc just kind of dominating here at the end. Not dominating, obviously, but, you know, getting back in race pace. I agree with Tyler entirely. I think Leclerc and Max are fighting the entire time. And I don't think Checo can keep up with Sainz on points. I don't.
Oh, I don't think so either.
I think there's a real chance that Ferrari can pull it off this year. Just looking at this, the numbers, Checo doesn't catch up to Sainz in points. Sainz either goes up to third or stays in fourth. I think he stays there. I think the top four are cemented with those four guys. Nobody's going
for sure. Yeah, for sure.
So then it becomes, okay, can Leclerc drive with Max? And when Leclerc's racing. There's very few people that are as good as him in a car when he's in his form.
I would agree. So are you saying we could see a Ferrari constructors and drivers?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if Leclerc catches Max, then they just
it's
won
just
the
a battle the rest of the year. I would love to see a Leclerc Max battle. You know, like we saw Max and Lewis. You know, it's every other race, bro.
That would
be fun. The rest of the season, dude. That would be fun.
And throw Lando in there for a couple
and
races
that,
too.
Like,
just to, oh, that'd be just
and something
gnarly.
That we didn't see coming. Like obviously we didn't see it coming, but not even the experts saw it coming. They just assumed that Red Bull is just going to run away with everything. And now at this point, we could absolutely see a repeat of 2021 at the very least.
That'd be sweet.
At the very least. And then, like you said, throw in Lando for a couple.
Throw in
a couple podiums for Oscar. And now all of a sudden, McLaren's right there. And they're probably not in the constructors race.
I think the battle's between Ferrari and Red Bull for number one. McLaren has third locked up. I don't think McLaren can make the jump to
that
second
yet, though. I don't
think
anybody
else is going to
catch them
for third. With how consistent those two other cars are.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think it all comes down to Checo.
For everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing here, that's the gap between Russell and Piastri isn't as crazy as I thought it was. Russell and Lewis is not as crazy as I thought it was with how much Russell looks like he's been outperforming Lewis this year, just as a whole. And like Yuki sitting in 10th with 19 points in a V-carb is insane.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think he's got a top 10 locked up pretty much. I don't know.
It's so funny that Behrman's still in 12.
I was just about to say the same thing.
I know.
Crazy.
Nico above Ricardo, too. Nico in 13th with 6 in that car is kind of nuts.
Yeah.
That is wild. That is
really
wild.
This is some eye-opening stuff. I haven't looked at this in a while. Some really eye-opening stuff, some of these guys.
So, with that, let's move into the Canada preview. And right into our Canada preview, Joe, why don't you just take it away, homie, like you always do.
Will do. The Formula One AWS Grand Prix du Canada 2024 is what we have coming up. The circuit Gilles Villeneuve occupies almost the entirety of the Notre Dame Island in Montreal, Quebec. And a fun fact, Canada hosted the longest race in F1 history in 2011. Any guesses on how long that race went?
No idea.
Any takers? That's 4 hours, 4 minutes, and 39 seconds. It's a long, long race.
It is a long race.
Last year, starting the race, we had saw Max, Alonso, and Hamilton. Sainz and Perez started further down the grid, just below points. In lap one, we saw Hamilton get past Alonso before the first turn, and Sainz begins to fight with Perez for position a little further down the grid. At the end of the long straight in the first lap, the fighting continues as Sainz overtakes Perez, who moves into the position right behind him, and actually cuts off Magnussen in their braking zone, sending the Haas off the track only for a little bit. On lap 12, George oversteers into a barrier after hitting too much of a curb and loses the back end, destroying half of his front wing and gaining a back tire puncture from fourth place. This triggers a safety car, encouraging the top 10 to into the pits for a quick stop. Unfortunately, to help negate the stacked pit stop, Lando backed up the field slightly so Oscar could finish up in his pit and get clear for Lando right after. He was given a 5-second penalty for unsportsmanlike behavior. Alonso found his way back past Lewis on lap 23 for second place. The two champions continue fighting through the lap, but Alonso made it stick for the time being. On lap 35, Nick DeVries fought K-Mag, showing him some moves that K-Mag has been using this season, pushing him off the track slightly, giving Russell two free positions up to 12th. This fighting continued down a few more turns when Nick went for an overtake on the inside, locked up into the turn, making himself a wall in front of K-Mag. They both ended up in the runoff area, stuck. By the time they found their way out, they were 18th and 19th, 40 seconds behind 17th. Russell's race went from bad to worse on lap 55 when he was told they needed to retire as the brake wear had gotten too high in the front left. So the final was as it started, Verstappen, Alonso, and Hamilton. We saw really great drives from Carlos and Charles and Checo, who made up a handful of positions from slightly lower in the top 10. Both McLarens qualified higher than their final race positions, even though they had some good fights. They were unable to keep up with the top three teams, all while having a 5-second penalty to work with. And when I say they finished higher in their final race positions, they actually finished lower. So they're in the low top 10. And then Verstappen's lead was only 10 seconds by the end of the race. And that was Canada 2023.
That's like the shortest recap you've ever had.
I just felt like a lot Monaco. Monaco was up. More happened last. I think more happened. More definitely happened. I just kind of condensed it a little bit. Monaco was a bit longer. I stopped watching the 30-minute recap. I just watched the highlights, and I think that's what I'm going to go with from now going forward. Saves a little bit of time.
I forgot how good Alonso and them were last year.
Yeah.
Like every time you do a recap and you're like, Alonso's second.
Alonso's in
like,
every recap.
I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, Alonso. Yeah.
Until we hit that mid-break.
The first half of the season, Alonso was fighting like for seconds at almost every single race. Yeah. And then they just hit a huge wall. Yep.
It was like Aston McLaren just flipped seasons last year.
Yeah.
Seems like maybe that that wall hit a little bit earlier this year, or maybe they just have had a few bad races. I don't know. We'll see it in Canada. He did well last year, so he should do. He's not going to get second place this year, but he should get top 10.
Monaco is second, too. They're done.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's rough.
Put a fork in them.
Has Alonso been on the podium this year?
No, he's not.
I think his best was fifth or fourth.
And why did they take such a step backwards, man? It's just,
wow. I honestly think.
Or is everybody taking that much step forward?
They took a step forward from where they were at the end of last year. It wasn't a huge step forward, and they're already starting to fall behind everyone else. Sure. I don't think they're good at upgrading through the year, and it's showing again, unfortunately.
Sure. That makes sense.
I missed. There was no flags last year, right?
There was a safety car that came out.
Safety car.
For Russell hitting the wall after getting a curb too much. He didn't take a ton of damage. He took a wing. He got pretty much his wing was gone. Funny enough, he retired for something completely different. Maybe he got damage from it too. He like retired for brake wear, which I haven't really heard of.
What was the podium last year?
The podium last year was Verstappen, Alonso, and Hamilton.
How many
Hamilton?
How many DRS zones are in this?
Two.
Two?
Yes.
obviously the back.
There's one on the back straight, and there's one at the starting line.
Dude, I really think
that's a really short DRS zone.
Yeah.
I really think we could see another Red Bull-less podium, to be honest with you.
I don't think Checo's going to make it. I feel like even though the car isn't going to be at its best, I still think Verstappen puts up enough of a fight to maybe
get he still gets the win.
You think he wins, Verstappen?
Ah, man. He was 10 seconds ahead of second place last year.
Different car.
How far ahead was he in Monaco last year?
It's tough. I put him in my podium. I don't know if I put him in first place. I'm not sure. Yeah. I feel like it's really hard to see who else was like really good at this race. Unfortunately, the McLarens, they were still in their bad period last year, but they didn't do amazing during the race. They lost positions. Ferrari looked really strong, so they're in my podium. Like, I'll just kind of say my podium prediction right now.
Go for it.
It's going to be Verstappen, Leclerc, and Sainz. I don't know if Verstappen wins though. I want to put Lando up there. But I don't think he's going to break top three. I'm hoping fourth or fifth.
Okay.
Maybe Oscar fills in that other position.
We were just talking about this before, on the little break we had there, and like out of all the tracks, this is probably one of the most interesting for fighting and for overtakes and everything. I mean, just the back stretch of this track is there's so many just in and outs, quick turns, and there's that DRS right before the last big turn, and that sector two, if you will, as Tyler pulled it up here. But there's so many good spots for like good fights, and like this isn't a track I think where if you're good in the corners, this is gonna be huge in this track, and McLaren is correct.
McLaren's good at low and high speed corners. That's kind of where they like they don't have like the top end Red Bull speed straight line. No, it's damn close, but like they excel in the high and low speed corners.
And Schmelzy was saying
Mercedes epically fails.
Schmelzy was saying Red Bull, as far as the turns on this track, should be a downfall on them. But I mean, yeah, as far as like racing on this track, I think it's going to be. I don't think there's going to be huge gaps between. I won't say the top 10 because that's just not realistic. But I mean, I think we're going to see some fights here late in the race. I think we're going to see a good fight, maybe for first late in the race. Or maybe even
first. So dope. That would be so awesome.
That would be nice because you very rarely see a fight for first at the end of the race. Usually the leader has kind of gotten, you know, 4 or 5 plus second gap. And then you look at, what was it, 2 races ago when Max and Lando were going at it at the end. Like that, you just don't see that anymore, especially in the Verstappen dominance era. But it's like you very rarely see that fight for first at the end. And boy, was that exhilarating.
And this is like a pretty similar track as far as like the DRS spots and the amount of turns and stuff, where I think it might favor Lando a little bit in this track. I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about Lando taking another first. This might be the track to do it.
I mean, why not? I mean, that's kind of my podium. Lando, Charles, and I think Max still gets in there. But
I
think we could see a Maxless win. But
I have the same podium. I'll just jump right in. I have Verstappen, Leclerc, and Lando as well. I think this track speaks very well to Lando. You know what? I'm gonna switch it up.
I don't know. It's kind of locked in stone, but
Lando, Leclerc, and Science.
Lando, Leclerc, and
Science. No Max at all.
No Red Bull up top here. I think this is where Red Bull makes that push, and all the news in the back is around Ferrari taking the constructors. And Ferrari on the uptick.
Whoa, buddy. Slow down.
That's spicy.
Talk about taking a hot lap.
That's a hot take. I think Max comes back real strong this week. I got him winning this race. There's too much passing opportunity for the Red Bull to excel at what they do. That top end, their DRS is unmatched right now. So if you can get Max within that second, like he's going to take that spot. So I'm with you, Smelty. I got Verstappen, Leclerc, and Lando. I would not be surprised if Piastri and Lando both finish in the podium this week.
That's what I'm saying.
Why not take
Oscar's
it?
Looking so much
Leclerc's
better.
Just been too consistent.
Yeah, Oscar's been looking a lot better, man. Like I seriously think he's coming on strong.
I need to see another bad race from Max before I start taking him out of my podium prediction.
I feel that.
I can't base it off of one race.
I feel that, but oh, man.
Especially in a race that's
But Monaco's straight qualifying, bro. I mean, yes, it's. I mean, you got to have the car too, right? It's not just skill. You got to have a good car there, but.
But you put Max. You have Max start. You know, even P6 and any other track, he's finishing in the podium.
Yeah,
I would simple agree with as that. That.
I just think I've said this. I think every week because I want it to happen so bad. Zayans finally makes a return to the podium. He's got to do it.
Zayans, well, he finished on the podium last week, brother.
No, I mean like. Yeah, but I mean, it was freaking Monaco. Everybody, like, people finished where they started.
It didn't count.
It doesn't count.
But before then, when's his last podium before that race?
Japan.
How long ago was that?
It was a couple races.
Three races before.
That's more so. Monaco, I mean, even Max was like, I should have brought my pillow.
He's raced in 7 races this year and gotten on a podium in 4 of them.
Yeah, but the first three, that's my point, though, more so. I'm going to exclude Monaco from this. The first three races.
So he's 3 for 6.
So the first three races, though, right?
Pretty good percentage.
Well, you didn't race the second one because of his appendix, but...
Well, so the first three races he raced, he started off the season very hot. I think he comes back up and finishes hot again.
I think we do see more consistent finishing from Sainz. I'd agree with that, like, as the season continues to progress. But
I don't see very many races where both Ferrari drivers are outside the top five at this point.
I would agree. It's literally Max versus the McLarens and the Ferraris, and that's your top five every race,
probably. Yeah. Where do you have... Straight up. So then I got to ask... Checo, where do you have him this race?
5 through 7.
I think that's a fair statement. I think it would surprise the heck out of me if he drove the heck out of it and got 4. But I don't think he can finish that high right now.
I don't see him finishing above the McLaren and Ferraris. And he's never gonna beat Max.
I think we could see Checo return to the podium. I don't know. But I think we could see Checo return to the top 5 in Spain, but
he will return back to the podium this year for sure.
I would think so.
Street track. When's the next street track?
Yeah, when that happens, I'm not sure, but...
It's not Singapore, is it?
I mean, he's...
Azerbaijan.
Oh, Baku. I love Baku.
And that's in a minute. It's one...
I love Baku.
Minute.
It's 9 races away.
It's a minute away.
Yeah, so...
It's halfway through September, homie. We gotta
see. That's when he'll be in my top 3 prediction.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Checo... I think what Tyler said is perfect. I think Ferrari's consistently in the top 5. I think it's going to hurt Red Bull because I don't think Max is going to, like, out of the next 3-4 races, Max wins 2 or 3 of them.
I think he wins at least 2.
Yeah.
Out of the next four, Canada, Spain, Australia, and then
Austria.
Austria, my bad. Australia, Lord.
Max is going to take Austria. It's Red Bull's track.
Yeah. So I have him in there, and I have him at Britain.
He could probably win Silverstone.
Did Ferrari look good in Austria last year? We can talk about it when we get to Austria. But
yeah, we'll get there. But
I have a quick question. We kind of talked about it in constructors, but I feel like I'm still waiting for, like, this race. I think is going to, like, I'm hoping it kind of solidifies the idea for me. Do we think Ferrari is for sure, like, the better car than McLaren right now?
No, not for me. No.
So are they pretty even keel right now, or is one slightly better?
I think the only thing that makes Ferrari slightly better is not the car, it's the drivers right now.
I would agree with that.
Oh, that hurts to hear, but I think you're probably right.
I think Lando and Leclerc are equals at this point in terms of their driver
but
level.
But Sainz is definitely better than
Piastri.
I give it to Leclerc over Lando.
I don't know, man. I don't think Leclerc is as consistent as Oscar.
So I guess I do view Ferrari a little bit better than McLaren. I think the cars are similar,
yeah,
but I think the skill of the Ferrari drivers does trump McLaren just by, you know, a sliver. But I think they are better.
That's a hurt. That's the experience. It's everything. I think Ferrari, they have 2 better drivers. I think Lando's just a step behind Leclerc as far as that. I think he's better than Sainz.
I think Lando's the number one driver on most teams, though, for sure.
If he was put
other
on different
than,
teams?
Yeah. Other than Red Bull, Mercedes,
other than Red Bull,
with
Max,
and Ferrari.
No. With Mercedes, he's the number one driver over Lewis this year. 100% Lando, yeah. I think I've seen enough from Lando.
Oh, no, I was going to say with George, he's the number one.
So this is why that statement is crazy.
You don't let him be the number one driver with
Lando's
Lewis.
Two,
I think
Lando's
he's
two
better
races
than
away
Lewis
from
this
his
year.
First win. Lewis is 2 years away from his 7th championship.
That's fine.
3 years away
from
the 7th championship. Come on.
That's fine.
So yeah,
I'm not saying
right now, brother.
You ain't listening, cuz. I'm saying you put Lando on the same team as Lewis, I don't think he's the number one driver. I think they're equals. I don't think there is a number one driver.
If you put Lando,
sorry, I think so.
That's not even a hot take. That's gibberish.
So.
Wait, so do you guys think if let's say we put Lando and Lewis in the Mercedes right now, or
Lewis is in the McLaren. Mercedes over Lando.
I disagree. I think Lando's taken the wins in Mercedes.
In a Mercedes over Lewis?
Yeah.
Okay.
This year, the Mercedes ain't winning. Okay, let's put them both in McLaren then. I think Lando is still doing better than Lewis this year.
No shot. Well,
with the prior knowledge of the car, maybe in the first half
let's
of the season.
Let's say they both have been in the car for 2 years.
He's still a step back.
Bro.
I got to ask on this point. Are you saying up until this point in the year, you think the rest of the season he finishes higher in the points?
Up until this point.
So where's your prediction? They're on the same car right now. Let's say McLaren, because they're actually getting good points.
Yeah.
Up until this point in the year, let's say you give Lando a couple points.
Do you
points
see where Piastri is right now for McLaren? That's where Lewis is right now if he's in the McLaren with him.
So let's finish out the season then. Let's say we go to the end of the season. Let's look forward 15
wilding.
Races. Let's look forward 15 races, right? Is Lewis finishing higher than Lando by the end of the season in the same car? 110%. That's why Lewis is the number one driver any car he goes to.
Man.
He's not going to be the number one driver at Ferrari.
Yeah, he will.
Guys, I'm sorry. I don't think
Ferrari's going to favor one or the other.
I think they'll be on equal playing field.
So hold on, though. Because I got to go back to his point. He is 2 years off of his seventh championship,
that's
right?
Cool.
It's still Lewis Hamilton. He's having a rough start to the season. He will put it together. By the end of the year, he will be above Russell in points. He'll be fighting up closer to that sixth spot.
I'm going to say something that's really going to frustrate
you. I think
Fernando is just at the same point as Lewis. I think if you put Lewis in the same seat as Fernando, I think they would perform the same.
It's not even a hot take.
I just think Lewis is getting to that point in his career. I think he's still skilled. I think he's going to score plenty of points.
Do you think
in
he
a
wins
Ferrari
an eighth,
car?
An eighth, do you think he wins an eighth? Drivers?
I'd love to see it.
Do you
I'd
think?
Love to
do
see
you
it.
Think he wins an eighth drivers' championship?
No, I'd love to see it, but no, I don't.
So you think he's that he's past
Max
his prime.
Max is way too much of a problem.
He's
right
past
now.
His prime. He's done.
I think.
I don't think he. I guess. I guess he's past his prime. I guess he's past his prime. But with Max on the grid, I don't think Lewis wins another championship, even in a Ferrari.
You don't pay a man that much money if he's out of his prime.
Again, I'd love to see it, though. I'd love to see him win eighth, especially in a Ferrari after, you know, winning so many in a Mercedes, of course.
Just for the sport.
I'd love to see
it. So where do you guys rank Lewis?
Let's just build a wall, homie.
So of this guy. So where would you rank Lewis on the grid right now? Everybody has equal cars.
Oh man.
So who's one? I think that's pretty obvious at this
Max
point.
Max is one.
Equal cars?
Equal cars. I'm still taking Max just because it was
cars,
aggressive.
I'm taking Max.
Max
still.
Is one.
So who's two?
I think his aggressiveness hurts him in equal cars.
No. That doesn't make sense. Because he's going to be aggressive.
I have no idea who says two is.
My gut really wants to take Charles.
This is a no-brainer, boys. It's Lewis Hamilton.
But what is he doing this year, right?
But
It's a bad car, 100%.
Not even that. Let's compare him with Russell. Look at him the last couple of years. He has started off every season, the last 2 or 3 years, in this car, bad the start of the season.
Has he?
Every single season.
Lewis?
3 years when he hasn't won a championship.
Who, Lewis?
Yes.
Yeah, he does start really, really rough. And then he literally just has an upward trajectory the rest of the season, for sure. I would agree with that. He gets warm, knocks the rust off from the offseason, for sure.
It's not the rust, I don't think, though. I think it's the car.
It's the upgrades.
I'm just seeing something different this year from him, man.
So right now, on the grid, everybody,
I'm not saying
like,
he's
like
gonna
Tyler
lose
said.
A spot on the grid anytime soon.
Like Tyler said, your top three drivers. Ready? Your top three drivers in the same car. Who are they? They're all in the same car. Who's your top three
Max
drivers?
Charles Lewis.
Okay.
I don't want to play this game anymore.
And Lando's at fourth. He doesn't want to play it.
But Lando's at fourth?
It's Max.
I think it'd be pretty close. I think Fernando's up there somewhere, but not top three.
I could tell you top four.
Go ahead.
It's Max, Leclerc, Lando, and Lewis, probably.
So you put Lando above Lewis in the top, in the same car. In the same car. What are we talking about here, guys?
Dude, he just hasn't looked.
Lando aren't even above
just
Fernando.
Hasn't looked
yeah,
good,
yeah.
Dude.
I agree entirely with Tyler. It is Max. Who'd you say?
Lewis.
Max Lewis, and who's your third?
Fernando.
Oh, okay, thank you. I thought you said Lando. I was thinking.
I got Max, Lewis, Fernando, Leclerc, Lando.
Absolutely. And I think if you put them all in the same car, Max, Lewis, and Alonso, because it's throwing me off there saying Fernando.
You're saying his first name, buddy.
If you put them in the same car, I think those three are fighting for race wins every week.
100%.
Against each other. I think Leclerc might. Lando,
podium or something.
They pop in for podiums, but if you put them all in the same car, those three, I agree entirely with Tyler. Those three are consistently you're fighting for first. One of those three will get first every race this season.
So Alonso should just be in that second Red Bull seat then.
I think one of the dumbest things Alonso could do is sign a multiple year deal with Aston. Yeah. I don't understand that unless it's simply for money. It ain't for legacy.
I'll say Alonso and Lewis in the same car as Max give Max a run for his money at the driver standings.
And I would say Alonso more so than Lewis, not because Alonso's a better driver, because Alonso will match Max's aggressiveness. Yes.
They're kind of convincing me a little bit.
That's fair. That's cool.
Alonso, because now I'm thinking about other drivers. Alonso was just an incredible driver. He really is. You can't disagree with me that Lewis's performance at the start of this year has not been good, despite the car. His teammates better than
would
him.
Agree with
his
you
teammates
last
not
year.
That much higher than him, but he's still better.
But
than
at the
him.
End of the year, like if we look at last year's just standings, right? So George was ahead of Lewis for the majority of the year, and Lewis ended up finishing 5 spots in front of him in the WDC.
Lewis was third.
Lewis got third in the WDC last year.
He got
in
hot
that
at the second
car.
Half of the season.
Yeah. Well, the second half of the season, the Mercedes was... Oh, wait. Was it getting worse?
It was getting better,
It
yes,
was getting better.
But not crazy. I wasn't reaching the levels that like the Red Bull, the Ferrari, the McLaren were bringing in terms of the upgrades. Like, the only reason, like, Lando finished as low as he did last year was simply because of the first half of the year.
For sure.
You know, you give Lando that car the whole year, he's finishing third or fourth.
But if you give Lewis that car last year, he's still, you know, like...
I don't see that change.
Let's have this same exact conversation after the season is over and seeing where Lewis is, because I'm worried. I want Lewis. I want everything you guys want. I just don't know if it's going to happen.
Lewis might end up fourth or fifth by the end of the year.
What if Lewis is behind Russell by the end of the year?
I also wouldn't be surprised by that, because at the end of the day, Lewis knows that his time in Mercedes is done. He's going to try to get George in the best position he can to be propel.
Do you really think?
I do. Lewis, the thing about Lewis, man, he's never been like a self-centered, super egotistical, it's all about me. He's always been a team guy. Now, granted, it's been in his favor.
He may not be on the team next year, but what is the benefit of pushing Russell this year then, if he can still get like good points
to set up Mercedes for success for the going forward?
This is like with any football team that ever lived, all the great quarterbacks, all the great backups followed a great quarterback. The reason that Lewis, I mean, the biggest role that Lewis is playing this year is for Russell. That's his only role this year.
He's a mentor.
They know they're not going to win races. They know they're not going to take.
Yeah, they know that.
They know right now they're not going to be top three in the constructors. So the only role that Lewis is playing for Mercedes this year is to help develop Russell even more to one day hold that driver's championship.
I would agree with that. 100%.
We're going to leave it right there. After starting that fire for Lewis going into Ferrari next year, and according to Joe and I, probably not being in that top two driver conversation, and allegedly the other side of the table is different. So, with that, unless you've changed now,
I'm just God. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say anymore. I just want to caveat. I love Lewis to death. Like Mercedes, by far, I mean, arguably, my second favorite team. Like, and Lewis is the main point of that. I don't know. I think he's lost a little bit of a spark. I don't know.
I got a final point on this.
Sure.
And this is where I think it might just switch you right over to my side, our side.
Okay.
Sebastian Vettel.
That's a different conversation.
No, it's not, though, because if you put him in any car, in the same car as all these guys, he's still above Leclerc and Lando.
Okay, you lost me, actually, completely.
Ooh,
you completely lost me.
I think you could fight for a top six.
It's you
yeah,
and me.
Let's
I don't
table
know about
that.
All that.
Let's
you,
table
you,
that.
You had me on your side,
you
Cole, but
me.
I am off the...
Done. He's me. Done. With that, obviously, like, comment, subscribe, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get the banter, and we'll see you after Canada for more Fast Laps.
Peace.